Hey there, I'm Troy Bronsink, and this is From the Hive, a podcast at the intersection of art, action, and contemplation. The Hive is located in Cincinnati, Ohio, and since March, we've been offering all of our same small group experiences through Zoom. And so as we enter the fall, we're continuing a mini-series of interviews with Hive members about hiving from home. Today's conversation is with Alice Connor. In addition to being a hoot, she is an author and a speaker, a campus minister, and today in specific, we'll be talking about her work with the Enneagram as a tool for mapping. She and several others of us from the Hive will be facilitating a course in November and December about the Enneagram for chaotic times. So I'll let you listen in, and hopefully you can join us for that course come November. Today I'm with Alice Connor. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
We've done all of these interviews by Zoom or Skype or whatever have you, and today I'm actually in Alice Connor's realm, in her domain.
My domain.
Yeah. Here at the Edge House, we're going to talk about a number of things, but the biggest one being a class that she and I and four others are co-facilitating in November on the Enneagram. So we'll dig into that a little bit, but I thought we'd start by just letting Alice tell you a little bit about where we're sitting right now, and about she's also an author and some of the work she does, how you got involved in the Hive. That's a lot of questions. Why don't we start with where we are right now?
Where are we? Sitting? Well, we're in the dining room of the Edge House, surrounded by dark orange walls. And the Edge House itself is a campus ministry at UC. I think it's kind of hilarious that I'm looking at the microphone as though I can see the people who are listening to this. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, imagine that I'm gazing soulfully into your eyes. We are a campus ministry at the University of Cincinnati. This is my 12th year here. And the Edge House is a community of, as we're telling our taglines here, mm-hmm. We're a community of storytelling, transition, and healing. And so we exist primarily for students at UC, but also at Cincy State, and also for sort of young adults around in the area. Things look a lot different right now because of COVID, of course, but we're still developing community. And that community is very much based around curiosity. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important word for us. It's sort of curiosity and hospitality. But this sense of tell me more. Mm-hmm. Is a phrase we use a lot, whether it's someone that we're really close to that we care about, or it's someone that we've just met who might be really grumpy with us for whatever reason. It's sort of, oh, this is interesting. Help me understand why you're where you are, why this thing is important that we're talking about. So that idea of curiosity is really, really important to this community and to me.
That's beautiful.
And it's also why I'm excited about the Hive and the Enneagram. Check out that segue.
That's a great segue. How did you end up at the Hive?
So a number of years ago, a good friend of mine said, I'm starting this Center for Contemplation and Action. That would be your friend and mine, Mr. Troy Bronsink. And I was like, heck yeah. And so I followed him over there and And it was the first, and actually, I guess, continued group that I was there for was that pastor's group out of Fuller. So we had been, Troy and I had been in this group with a bunch of other pastors to talk about all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the sort of official time of that group ended, and a number of us sort of transferred over to the Hive. And there's some of us who are still from that group, and there's mm-hmm. new people, and it's actually reminds me a little bit of the Edge House in the sense of some people transitioning out and some people transitioning in, and the community still existing in the midst of that transition.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So so we're co-creating a class in November mm-hmm. on the Enneagram. We're calling it kind of the Enneagram for chaotic times, mm-hmm. A sense of like, how does the Enneagram serve as a tool for spiritual formation that enables you to get some clarity?
Yeah.
Because we're clearly in that's a poorly formed sentence. We are obviously in a place of chaos and a lot of lack of clarity.
it won't be just information. It will include some of what you just described in terms of the clergy circle or other Hive online experiences, a chance to be seen. How have you experienced the Enneagram as a way of being seen?
Well, my very first experience with it that I remember anyway, my husband was into it before I was, and we were on some road trip, and he had been reading this book about the Enneagram. He said, "Hey, can I read you something?" And I was like, "All right, sure, whatever." And so he starts reading to me at the beginning of the chapter about the type one. And so I'm listening to it. I think I might even have been verbalizing this. You know, he's reading me a couple of sentences. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. Yeah. He reads a few more sentences. Sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oof. Oh. Oh, God. Oh, this is horrifying. Like my experience with the Enneagram is sort of a less goofy version of like, how are you in my head? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it in a magical sense, because I think there's a lot of folks who understand Enneagram work. Well, they don't understand it as work necessarily. And I'm not like judging anybody for that. It's sort of the in the popular culture, Enneagram or Myers-Briggs or family systems or any of those kinds of tools, people tend to see like as a box, as a like a sticker you can put on and be like, I'm a one and done. But that's not what it is. I always refer to it as it's a door, not a box. It invites you into a whole world, or perhaps out into a whole world of self-understanding and empathy. And we can go so far with that, so deep into that. I talk about seeing your own patterns. I talk about recognizing that there's always possibility. That is, that you always have a choice. It may not be a good choice. It may be a really crap choice, but you have a choice. And there's freedom in that. So yeah, I mean, to be seen in all of the ways that I exist in the world, both, I mean, as a woman in 21st century America, like I was sort of raised not to toot my own horn, right? But to be able to go, oh yeah, no, I am good at stuff. And other people can see that I'm good at stuff, and that is good, that is fine. Also, I screw up all the time in particular ways. And neither one of those things fully defines me. None of these sort of complex personality attributes defines me entirely, nor do they define you. And when I have done that work with people who are really engaged with it, whether they're new to it or not, I think we all have this experience of not, being seen doesn't just mean I see you. It means I validate you. I care for you. Who you are is meaningful. And to me, that's all it is. You may think of it as like a wrench or a screwdriver, like it's a tool, but it's a tool that then opens up this whole world.
Opens you up to yourself and opens you up to empathy and kind of the one anotherness.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we were together with, Chris McLaren, who has years of experience with the Enneagram as a Qigong teacher. Among other things, a Qigong practitioner and has been at the Hive for quite a while. Nikki Pappas, who's done, who's used the Hive in coaching and does other health and yoga coaching. Claudia Lopez, who does international coaching and other yoga things and has taught at the Hive for quite some time. And Adam Clark, who's a theologian, kind of centrally a liberation theologian at Xavier, but has really found some kind of purchase in the way that the Enneagram can describe our inner experiences of these systems from that kind of liberationist sense, our inner experiences of these systems. So we were talking together and we kind of said, what's the outline for that time? And I think you just described a distinction that I think what folks could expect from this class. We expect to be a pretty big group, that there is a number of folks who have learned the Enneagram as a box. Learned it as a system so that then they can have a name tag and it's one more point of identification and feeling heard and seen. I'm a seven, so, you know, appreciate me for my sevenness, give me grace for my sevenness. Yes. I'm a three, appreciate me for my threeness, give me grace for my threeness, whatever that is. And that the class is designed to say, let's move from identification to how did Nikki put it, the language of inclination.
Yeah.
And I liked that. So we'll be asking that question of like, this is the lens I start from.
Yeah.
But the presumption is that I'm going to grow to include more in my life than being cornered by this lens. I can become aware of it then. I can give it grace. But I can continue to transcend this while including where I've come from. Anything else from the class outline that that you're excited about?
I mean, I'm always excited about, and this is the way I normally begin teaching Enneagram. I'm really excited about the shapes of it, sort of the visual. A lot of times that's one of the first things people see is the shape, this kind of weird looking star thing. And to kind of pull that apart, there's a circle, there's a triangle, there's a goofy looking hexad thing. And that each of those tells you something else. They help, they help us. I was about to say delocate. I don't think that's a word. I'm not sure that even means anything. But like help us release our fixation, help us release our clinging. I tend not to start with the numbers because for the exact reason we tend to fall into, well, an I am a, as opposed to like, I sit at, I fixate at, I specialize at, because it's not really about an identification. I'm not only this. And so when we can talk about the circle as unity, we can talk about the, now I've got to remember all this, the triangle as intentionality. No, that's, sorry. Well, the hexad is more intentionality, I think, of having a choice, choosing something different. And the triangle is possibility, sort of non-dual possibility, I think helps set the stage for that space of curiosity. To bring it back to what I'm really excited about, what this place that we're sitting in is about. To me, so much of Enneagram is about being curious about myself and being curious about other people.
That's good. One of the things that I'm looking at the outline here, one of the things I was excited about with the class was Adam Clark from that lens of a sociological lens, that liberationist lens, that that the collective, this chaotic time, needs people of clarity to step into it. And he talks about Howard Thurman and King both had a type of language of injecting clarity into the culture. So it's not that I come in with this huge rescue, or I stay back because I'm overwhelmed, but that the clarity that comes from this creates a way to bring health into the human situation. And in a sense, to kind of also pull health out of the human situation by being clear. So I think this class will also begin to address those questions, particularly I think in issues around systemic racism, abolitionist work, and kind of on the wake of this class will take place just days after the election.
I'm also excited about that, not the election. I mean, I guess I am excited about the election too, but I'm excited about being able to kind of process some of that with, like, through this lens. And with Adam, I mean, like, the rest of them are great too. Like, but with Adam in particular, that liberationist, abolitionist space is really, I'm not sure if attractive is the right word to me, but it feels very resonant.
I'm going to throw a curveball here. Any reservations about how that 6-week course would go?
Any reservations? I mean, I suppose the sort of necessary issue of doing it online. So one of the things that I said to my students back in the spring before we thought things were as, before we realized things were as bad as they were, but we were already doing some things online. We were talking about communion and community online. And one of the things I said was, you know, when we gather here on this Zoom call or wherever we are, we are actually gathering, you know, when Jesus said where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst of them. Like to me, and maybe I'm parsing this word too much, but to gather speaks of intention. I'm choosing to be here, wherever here happens to be. I'm choosing to be here physically in my porch, living room, bedroom, wherever it is that I'm calling into the Zoom call. And you are choosing to be wherever you physically are to call into the Zoom call. And we are all choosing to be part of this moment of conversation.
Yeah.
Which in a lot of ways is really no different than having a conversation with people physically. It is a moment of conversation that then people leave from. Obviously there's differences in terms of like there's minute facial changes and there's all kinds of body language that you're going to miss. But I think it's just as real.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit is very much present in the bleeps and blips of computer connection as it is, as she is between us physically.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. That's actually a good way to wrap this up, an invitation too. So this is about being part of a conscious community, a contemplative community working on this. It's not a webinar where you're going to, go like, right. Oh, I downloaded more information and now I'm more equipped for later.
Right.
It's a full contact sport. Yeah. And that like, you're going to be, participants are invited into the action of
you're
it.
You're still physically present.
Yeah.
In your space.
You've taken your body to this work.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to be seen when you take your body to the work is really powerful. Awesome. So before we go, how can folks find out more about what you do, Alice? And we haven't even got, you mentioned a chapter in your book. We haven't even gotten into your book. So
Yes. Well, books. I mean, the Edge House has a website if anybody wants to just kind of check us out. And not that you have to come here, just if you're interested in what we're about. That's edge-uc.org. That's there's a delightful little short video that we just recorded this fall that's very charming, sort of gives you a good visual sense of what we're about. I'm currently working on a follow-up to my first book. That one was called Fierce. It was about women in the Bible. And by working on, I mean wrestling mightily with. But I also wrote a book called How to Human, an incomplete manual for living in a messed up world that has a lot of similar themes to what we've talked about today.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, they're things I care about. But it's also in some ways a little bit of a biography of the Edge House, like some of the wisdom that we have learned together over the last 11 years. So encouraged for people of all ages.
Yeah.
Maybe not kids, but
all ages above 16 or whatever.
16 and up. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Alice Connor, thanks. This is a blast.
It's delightful to be here.
Always good to be with you. And I'm looking forward to November to the class.
Same.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to From the Hive. To learn more or register for classes, check out cincyhive.org. That's cincyhive.org. And you can also see more about the Enneagram course that Alice and I were talking about on that website, as well as register. And you can look in the show notes for more things about Alice's books. The wonderful music you hear in this podcast is from Michael Hester. He's a multi-instrumentalist and producer in the Midwest. And you can find his music on SoundCloud, as well as if you follow the link in the show notes. Thanks so much, and look forward to being with you all again soon. Thank you.